This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
This is your tech news briefing for Thursday, May 6th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. You won't be seeing any posts from former President Donald Trump on Facebook or Instagram, at least not for now. Yesterday, Facebook's oversight board upheld the company's decision to block Trump. But the ruling came with some asterisks. Our Facebook reporter Jeff Horwitz will be back on the show to explain the board's ruling and what comes next. That's after these headlines. Just before leaving office in January, the Trump administration put forward a rule that would have made it easier to classify gig workers as independent contractors rather than employees. Some companies, like DoorDash and Uber, applauded that rule because they said it offered their drivers and delivery people flexibility. The rule also meant that they wouldn't have had to provide those workers with benefits like sick leave or overtime pay. That rule was set to go into effect this week. But yesterday, the Biden administration blocked it. The Labor Department will be relying instead on a law that's been the status quo for decades, the 1938 Fair Labor Standards Act. But our labor economics and policy reporter Eric Morath says that law still leaves some ambiguities.
I don't think that law took into effect smartphones and delivery apps and things of that nature. And these companies say it's time to update these rules. It's time to give us certainty. And while Labor Department officials yesterday said, you know, they don't plan to dramatically change how they regulate these companies, they also added that they want to be seen as pro-worker and that they, you know, are going to look for any opportunities to enforce existing laws and to make sure that, you know, workers that are eligible are paid the minimum wage, receive overtime and other, you know, government protections.
The shift could have a major impact on gig companies. We got a sense of that in Uber's earnings report yesterday. The company said its revenue declined because of a similar employee classification dispute in the UK. After losing a legal battle there, Uber granted its British drivers an employment status in March that entitles them to vacation pay and pension contributions. Uber set aside $600 million tied to that reclassification, and the company reported first quarter revenue of $2.9 billion, down from $3.2 billion a year earlier. And Peloton reversed course and agreed to recall its treadmills. The Consumer Product Safety Commission told people with young children or pets to stop using the treadmills in April, saying the products were responsible for dozens of injuries and at least one death. Peloton initially rebuffed safety regulators' push for a recall. But in a statement yesterday, the company's CEO apologized and said the company should have, quote, engaged more productively with safety regulators at the outset. All right, coming up next, Facebook's oversight board agreed that the company was right to ban President Trump back in January. So why did it say Facebook still had a lot of work to do? That's after the break.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
Former President Donald Trump has been locked out of his Facebook and Instagram accounts since January, when Facebook suspended him after a pro-Trump mob attacked the U.S. Capitol. In the months since then, the company's independent oversight board has been looking into whether the company was justified in that decision. And yesterday, it handed down its ruling. Here's oversight board co-chair Michael McConnell.
We agree that Facebook had sufficient justification to suspend Mr. Trump's account, at least for the duration of what the Department of Homeland Security called a, quote, heightened risk of violence.
While the board upheld Facebook's decision, they also said the company didn't properly explain if or why Trump should be banned permanently. Our Facebook reporter, Jeff Horwitz, is back once again with more on this. Hey, Jeff, good to talk to you again.
Hi.
So before we get started, we should note that the Wall Street Journal's owner, News Corp, has a commercial agreement to supply news through Facebook. Okay, so Jeff, tell us about how the board ruled and how they came to their decision.
So the board spent the last few months reading opinions from people who wrote in. There were more than 9,000 of them, hearing from both and then talking to both Facebook and also to people in President Trump's camp about the decision that Facebook made indefinitely suspend the president after the January 6 riots. The conclusion they came to was, first, that Facebook had been well within its rights to remove President Trump because President Trump had been inciting violence. So there's no real question about that. Then the sort of more complicated question was how Facebook should go about resolving the indefinite suspension and whether Facebook adequately communicated the reasons for what it was doing. And in terms of the second point, whether Facebook was transparent about its process, the answer was absolutely not. And the board had a big problem with that. In terms of whether Facebook should reconsider letting Trump back on the platform at a later date, they did not take a stand on that. They just merely said that that was something that a decision that Facebook couldn't foist off onto the board and would have to make after appropriately justifying and clarifying what its rules for heads of state misbehaving actually are.
So it sounds like this puts the ball back in Facebook's court. And to that end, Facebook's VP of Global Affairs said it would consider the recommendations and determine an action that's clear and proportionate. So I guess the big question is, what happens next? Where do we go from here?
So the board is saying that Facebook needs to spend the next 6 months figuring out what its rules should be, so it's not just doing things ad hoc the next time. And that it then needs to sort of resubmit whatever its plan is to the board, so the board can say whether the decision it's going to make on President Trump's account is consistent with whatever those rules should happen to be. So it's it might be a while.
And what kind of a reaction have we seen so far from others? You know, from former President Trump, of course, but also other public figures who this ruling could impact.
So President Trump has dismissed this as being sort of a liberal fig leaf of a process. And the reaction from everybody else is pretty clearly along partisan lines. So, you know, while the board seems to be going for, to look at sort of bigger picture questions of adjudication and accountability and, you know, seems to be thinking of this as a matter of principle, I think a lot of the world is viewing it as a question, a referendum on Donald Trump.
Got it. So the board's ruling also came with a bunch of policy recommendations for Facebook. Can you talk a little bit about some of the recommendations that they actually handed down here?
Sure. So one of them was that it's just completely indefensible for the platform to have indefinite punishments, right? That there's kind of this sense of, you know, you can't punish someone for a thing without telling them exactly what they did wrong. Another one is that Facebook needs to clarify its standards on newsworthiness and how that affects political figures. The board, I think, is very concerned that perhaps VIPs receive better treatment on the platform than others.
But, you know, one thing we sort of alluded to earlier, Facebook isn't required to implement all of the board's recommendations. So how much power does this board actually have in affecting change at Facebook?
It's interesting. The board kind of passed on the thing that it has the most clear absolute power over, which is determining whether President Donald J. Trump should be allowed back on the platform or not. That's the thing that they have absolute control over. But the other stuff, Facebook has to consider those recommendations and publicly respond to them. It doesn't have to necessarily agree with them or implement them. So I guess the answer is a lot of power in a very narrow frame. But in sort of the big picture stuff, all the recommendations, it is their recommendations and nothing more.
And, you know, Jeff, I want to ask about the potential impact here for users. One of the board's co-chairs, Michael McConnell, he said that the board had already seen more than 20,000 appeals on content decisions from regular users who were just confused about what rules they'd violated, why they were banned, why their posts had been taken down. And he said that this issue with Trump was not the only case in which Facebook had engaged in what he called ad hocery in applying its rules. Here's McConnell.
I believe that the very existence of an independent oversight board is it's designed to change the culture of content moderation on the platform. When Facebook knows that there is someone looking over their shoulder and insisting upon clarity, transparency, consistency, fairness, then it is much more likely that we'll be seeing some internal reform.
So I guess my question for you is, you know, could these policy changes that the board proposed end up impacting how the platform is governed and the experience for the average user?
Only in the most indirect sense. To some degree, the board is going to be joining everybody else in a very long line of entities that think that Facebook's moderation leaves something to be desired. Obviously, they have a little more public stature and the fact that Facebook literally paid for them to be created. But it doesn't seem like that's likely to immediately filter down or to even in any sort of coherent sense filter down into the way the platform actually is run.
All right. Our Facebook reporter, Jeff Horwitz. Thanks, Jeff.
Take care.
That's it for today's Tech News Briefing. You can find more tech stories on our website, WSJ.com. And if you like our show, please do rate and review us in your app store. It really does help. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.